My beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our reading in Kings points to the fact that God gave Solomon much wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore. And the record in 1 Kings chapter 4 records for us that he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And I want to take just a few words of Solomon out of the Proverbs this afternoon and see how Jeremiah also in his prophecy picks up those words and presents them to us as a means of exhorting us today in a world that is largely given over to those things which are abhorrent in the sight of God, where men largely rely upon the things of this life, those things that we know are to pass away with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse that I'd like to use as a basis of exhortation is found in Proverbs chapter 3. And having read two verses out of Proverbs 3, we'll go on then into Jeremiah in chapter 17 and look how he picks up and contrasts the men and women of the world with those who are the called in Christ Jesus. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, we read these words: "Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It's all too easy, brethren and sisters, with the things of this life, however blessed we might be by the Father, to place our reliance upon those things first, rather than relying upon Yahweh as our guide in life. Trust in him with all thine heart. Not just when it pleases us, brethren and sisters, but all of the time, first and foremost, in all our considerations. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Because we shall see that leaning unto the understanding of the things of the flesh only brings disaster and destruction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The word direct there means to make straight. We're instructed in other parts of scripture, are we not? Not to look to the right hand or to the left, but to look straight on. To keep our minds centred on the things of the kingdom and the glories which shall shortly be in the earth as a result of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and great glory. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart. Now come over to Jeremiah in chapter 17, and just four verses. Verse 5: "Thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from Yahweh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her root by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Back to verse 5 then. Let's look at the contrasts here with those who trust in the flesh. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And the word trust that's used there by Jeremiah conveys the idea of putting confidence in something, but carelessly. There's a careless attitude in the mind of those who put their confidence in the Adam man. That's the word that's used there. It's the word Adam. That word that is associated with the flesh. And Jeremiah says, cursed is that man that has a careless confidence in the things of this life and makes flesh his arm. And when we look at the word flesh in the concordance, we are told there that the word finds its roots in the idea of doctrine. The word flesh there comes from a root that signifies the things that are taught by those who have the attitude of the mind of the flesh. Their doctrine, the evil which they speak, and in whose arm they rely on, which they find power and might and strength. We know quite clearly, brethren and sisters, from Scripture, that the mind of the flesh is at enmity with God. Jeremiah shows us quite clearly that this man is cursed. His heart has departed from Yahweh. The heart here used in the sense of the understanding, in the sense of wisdom, a wisdom in complete contrast to that wisdom that was manifested by Solomon and that is seen so clearly in those many proverbs that he wrote for our edification. Let's just keep our fingers in Jeremiah and come back into Psalm 118. And here in Psalm 118, we are led, I believe, to a very important verse in Scripture. We are told by the commentators that Psalm 118 and verse 8 is the middle verse of the Bible. If you start in Genesis 1 verse 1 and the last verse of Revelation and come back by verse, you come to verse 8 of this chapter and look what it says. It's better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. And this is the whole thrust, brethren and sisters, is it not, of the teachings of the Word of God. It's better for us to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in the princes of this world. Psalm 146 and verse 3 echoes these thoughts for us quite clearly. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. The margin says deliverance or salvation. There is no help in the Son of Man. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. In contrast, verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, for his deliverance, his salvation, whose hope is in Yahweh his God. And we'll see shortly, brethren and sisters, that our hope is intimately associated with our trust in Yahweh as the great provider of all things. Come back to Jeremiah again then. Verse 6. This man that is cursed for trusting in himself, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land, and not inhabited. The word heath there conveys the idea of being destitute, or stripped naked. And that's clearly the position of these who have the mind of the Spirit. They are destitute of those things associated with the Word of God. Naked in His sight. They are in the desert, in the wilderness. In the land and the darkness of Egypt that surrounds us also, brethren and sisters. Yet we are in it, but not of it, because we trust in Yahweh and His word. Jeremiah says that these shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in barrenness, as the word salt conveys, in a land of barrenness, of no life. The Apostle Paul says to us in the letter to the Ephesians that once we were without Christ, in the world, having no hope, without God. Let's look again at the words of the psalmist, this time in contrast. Psalm 23. A psalm which conveys to us the fact that Yahweh is our shepherd. And that we will not want, because of His goodness and His tender mercy which He does shower upon His children. But notice in comparison here, in Psalm 23 and verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Those who trust in man, Jeremiah says, cannot even see good when it comes, when it stares them in the face. The psalmist says that here, brethren and sisters, goodness follows us. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And the ministering spirits which are sent forth for the heirs of salvation are there to succour and to guide us. Goodness and mercy follows us. And I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Come back now to Jeremiah again then. And let's pick up the contrast of those who truly trust in Yahweh. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is. You see, the word hope is derived from the word trust. The two go together. Where there is trust, there can be hope. Where there is not trust, there is no hope. Turn over to the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, where he deals specifically with these things. And it's dealt with in the context of the time when, by God's grace and mercy, we shall be made like unto Christ's glorious body. He talks about the manifestation of the sons of God and sets before us that great hope of our appearing with Him in the earth. He tells us in verse 19 that it ought to be our earnest expectation. In verse 24 he says, For we are saved by the hope. Not just any old hope, brethren and sisters, but the hope of Israel. The definite article is there in the text. We are saved by the hope. And Jeremiah says, Whose hope Yahweh is. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's the whole idea, brethren and sisters, of trusting in Yahweh. There is a confident anticipation in the things which he has promised us. An earnest expectation of receiving those things which he has presented before us in his word. Earlier in the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul has told us, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, then the reward is eternal life. But in contrast unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, then indignation and wrath. We are saved by the hope. We are saved by our trust and our hope in Yahweh, that what he has promised, brethren and sisters, he is able to perform. Turn over into 1 Corinthians and to chapter 15. We sang in that last hymn, didn't we, of the joy that was coming, of the expectation of the resurrection of loved ones, and the glorious joining together of the elect of God with the Master. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men, the Revised Standard Version, most to be pitied. Most to be pitied. Because the Apostle Paul shows us quite clearly that godliness has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so if in this life, the Apostle says, we have hope in Christ only, then we are of all men most miserable. And lastly in this respect, Hebrews chapter 11. That chapter that speaks so clearly to us of those who had a wonderful hope in the promises. The promises that were made unto the fathers. That they looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. And there in verse 1 of Hebrews 11 we read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a confident anticipation, brethren and sisters, in things hoped for, and a full persuasion of things not seen. True confidence in our Heavenly Father and in the veracity of his word. Back to Romans chapter 5. Here in the opening two verses of Romans chapter 5, the Apostle presents to us the glorious position, brethren and sisters, that we find ourselves in if we trust in Yahweh. Therefore, being accounted righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We've been called out of the world of Gentile darkness, brethren and sisters, to be a people for the name. We've been accounted righteous, having been covered by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in the exalted position of having access into the very presence of God himself through our mediator. And before us now, we are left with the earnest expectation of rejoicing in hope of the glory of Yahweh. That hope, brethren and sisters, that will be realized in that glorious day of judgment. when by God's grace and mercy we will be invited to partake in the glories of the kingdom age. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh and whose hope Yahweh is. Jeremiah goes on to say, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And what wonderful allusions there are, brethren and sisters, in the scriptures to the saints being like trees. Let's look first of all in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And as we shall see shortly here, I believe that there is an allusion to the palm tree. We remember how that the palm tree's roots are long and stretch out close to the surface, in order that in times of tribulation, when the winds have come and buffet that tree, it bends, but is not uprooted. Its roots are not deep, but they spread out a long way, largely in search of living water. I'm sure in a moment we shall see the wonderful types from that tree, but they are there to provide strength in times of tribulation. And here Solomon tells us that the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Come back into Psalm 1 now. Psalm which speaks clearly, we believe, of these things. Speaking of the one who delights in the law of Yahweh, verse 2, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's a description of that one. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here's a picture, brethren and sisters, of the righteous, those that Isaiah describes for us in chapter 61 in this fashion. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, speaking of those who mourn in Zion, in the middle of the verse, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. Not that we might be glorified, brethren and sisters, for anything that we might have done of our own selves. No. We will be trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. And he is glorified, as Jeremiah tells us in those early chapters, when he looks upon us and he knows us, and we recognize that he is gracious and merciful and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, and forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. But remember, he will by no means clear the guilty. We are to be like trees planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Trees that will not wither when the heat comes. Trees who spread out their roots by the river, planted by Yahweh. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of Yahweh shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. The margin says green. They shall be fat and green. Psalm chapter 1 says that their leaves also shall not wither. These are evergreen trees. Those evergreen trees which speak to us in symbol of immortality. Come over into the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 22. To that glorious vision there, where we read in chapter 22 and verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the wood of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Here, brethren and sisters, we have that wonderful picture of the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose work will be in the kingdom to be trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that they might be there for the healing of the nations. It's a wonderful prospect then is set before us for those whom Jeremiah says should trust in Yahweh. He tells us that their fruit shall never fail. And it's the Apostle Paul that speaks, brethren and sisters, of the fruit that we should bring forth. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the qualities, brethren and sisters, that the Father desires to see manifested in us. Come back then to Jeremiah and chapter 17. Verse 9. Here's the warning for us. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And the old man of the flesh, the things of the mind of the flesh, brethren and sisters, have to be fought day by day. This was recognized so clearly by the Apostle Paul when he told us that when he would do good, evil was present with him. So the heart, says Jeremiah, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He desires for us to bring forth fruit to the honour and glory of his name, that he might be glorified amongst us. Verse 13, O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Help us to look and see before us these glorious things, brethren and sisters. Help us not to forsake the fountain of living waters. Help us to set roots into the ground, roots that search and feed upon the living waters of the Word of God, such that in times of trouble and tribulation we might not put our trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help, but we might trust in Yahweh, that we might remember that glorious hope that has been set before us. Finally, Proverbs chapter 13. And verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And that's exactly the expression, brethren and sisters, of the things that I've attempted to put before you today by way of exhortation. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And we long and hope for that glorious day when the trials and tribulations of this life will be behind us. When, as the Apostle Paul says, they are but for a moment a light affliction which worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, whilst we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal and passing away, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And as we come to partake of the bread and of the wine, we look upon those things which are eternal, because he rose from the dead and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's trust in Yahweh and put our hope in him, so that in that glorious day when the Master appears in the earth, we might be found to be vessels fit for honour and glory in his sight.